Morning. Today, our gospel, we read one of the most troublesome speeches attributed to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has a somewhat adversarial relationship with the keepers of the law of Moses and many in power, and at every turn, they are trying to make him say something that will get him into trouble. Today, they go after the contentious issue of divorce. Brace yourself, this is one that's going to be hard to hear. Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "At the beginning of creation, God made male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
I used to have my sermon. There we go. Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, we open to your word, your wisdom, your life. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts and minds, and the way that we put our faith into action be acceptable in your sight, be in harmony with your dreams for the community of the earth. Amen. Special Sundays come and go, but I gotta tell you right off the bat that this Sunday, Worldwide Communion Sunday, is like right up near the top for me. One of my favorites in the year. I'm not sure what it is about it that kind of gets me every time, but I think it has something to do with this image that I have of groups of people gathered around the world in great majestic cathedrals, and in huts, and under acacia trees, and in shelters in the pouring rain, and in the wide open air, in the hallowed halls of the Vatican, with incense and chanting in the Eastern churches, to the music of marimbas in Guatemala, all coming to the table and hearing the words, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And no matter where you are, no matter how you share this sacrament, we can say with one voice, yes, Jesus, we remember. This is a day when the rich breadth of the world community is celebrated. It's a really a feel-good day in the life of a church that could use a feel-good day. Not unlike the feeling that I got when I ran across this clip this week.
People often say, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport. And I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
There we are. You didn't realize you were part of a global enterprise, eh? Yeah. Nice. Yes. Well, today we celebrate the global enterprise. However, and you gotta know there's always a however, right? This Sunday's not only renowned for that, but it's also officially called Watch the Preacher Squirm Sunday. And it comes around every 3 years, this one, not every year. Comes around every time we look at the gospel reading about divorce. The preacher is supposed to say something intelligible about that pesky divorce passage in which Jesus would appear to come across pretty hard on those of us who are divorced. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Period. Full stop. Pretty harsh. Hence the name. Watch the preacher squirm. If life were simple in this world, there would be no squirming. If I were absolutely convinced that marriage once entered into is always and without exception life-giving and healthy for all, no squirming. If there was no abuse, no broken promises, no miscommunication, no growing apart, no drug and alcohol problems. And the list could go on and on and on. If life were simple, there would be no squirming. But life on this world is not simple. For all that we long for community, local, global community, for companionship, for intimacy, there is another level at which community, companionship, intimacy, it's trouble, folks. And it involves pain. And sometimes it diminishes us. And at such times, we join with Jean-Paul Sartre, who said, "Hell is other people." That's why those difficult words of Jesus on divorce are so significant. This is not the day, and this is not really the setting. If you wanted that, you would have come to Bible study on Thursday, where we really dug into this passage, but it's not really the setting for a lengthy explanation of his apparent stern and uncompromising statements. But suffice it to say that never once in the entire gospel record does Jesus speak judgmentally about people who are poor, about people who are oppressed, about people who are vulnerable. Judgment, when it's there, is reserved for people who have power, those in control who use their position to dominate others and make them long for a little solitude. In this instance, he is speaking in a context where men had such power over women that a man could divorce his wife for any or no reason at all by standing up in public and saying, "I divorce you," three times. That would do it. Needless to say, women who, by the way, were considered possessions, chattel, secondary in the social scheme at best, had no comparable way of getting themselves out of an abusive or empty relationship. So clear is this context in which Jesus is speaking that we can say without question that the issue Jesus is going after is not so much the morality of divorce as a social convention, but the ethics of power in relation. You do not treat people by standing up. You do not treat vulnerable people by standing up and cutting them loose without support. You just don't do it. In the kind of community, in the kind of relationship that God has in mind for humanity. That's about power. Which brings me back to Worldwide Communion Sunday and this global enterprise we're in. You see, there's something about being human that makes us want to be together, to not be alone, to be in community. Be that a community of two in a marriage, or 15 in a house church, or 250 under an acacia tree that I was talking about earlier, or 2,000 in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And we are called to shape that community in a way that we believe God has in mind for human community. And the key to that kind of community, quite the opposite of Sartre's hell, is in a new understanding of power, a different understanding of power in relation, how we share power with one another. It has taken us centuries to discover the simple truth that Jesus is trying to state so clearly. that imbalance in power destroys the kind of marriage, the kind of church, the kind of global enterprise possible that God's grace makes possible. When there is an imbalance of power, Sartre is right. Hell is other people. If the city, the province, the nation is so constructed that the few make life and death decisions for the many, and the few have more than they could ever use, while the many do not have enough, there is no dignity, there is no freedom, community becomes impossible, hell is other people. If the church so shapes its life that some people are welcome and can participate fully, while others, because they are youth or older, because they are poor or disabled, or because they don't have enough schooling, or because of their sexuality, can only participate partially, the community, indeed the global enterprise that was so beautifully celebrated, is broken. Hell is other people. But we gather here at the invitation of the one whose understanding of community is made known when he takes a child and sets that child at the very center of the community. And when he looks at women, despised and powerless, and takes up their cause as his own. We gather here in response to that, to his call to become that new kind of community, that different kind of community, that kind of community where power is dealt with utterly differently. It's marked by respect and mutuality, where no one is lonely because no one needs to be afraid. We gather here to celebrate the extraordinary diversity of this global enterprise, rejoicing that there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither woman nor man, and I would go on, neither rich nor poor, neither are there any who long for a roof over their head. That is the vision that we try to embrace and embody in this place. That is the vision that we try to make real in the world. And yes, there are divorces. Yes, there is brokenness. Yes, there are times when we don't get it right, when we end up embodying something utterly different than that vision. And yet the vision also includes a coming back, a grounding in the vision. A gathering again around the table and saying, oh, yes, Jesus, we forgot, but now we remember. God grant us the grace as we gather here and as people gather around the world and as you gather around your tables and with your partners in marriage. God grant us the grace as we embody power in relation to sink deep into that vision and live it with all we have and all we are. Amen.